We've been, of course, here for many years already, and our focus in our programming is on helping the peace process, as well as giving urgent humanitarian assistance. But we are moving also very much towards building resilience and helping people in South Sudan who are able to help themselves in more stable regions of this country. And that support is going to food security programs, to water and sanitation programs, to peace building programs. And I can give you some examples. For instance, we have assisted 460,000 people with emergency livelihood programs to improve their food availability and access to food. We have helped over 400 farmers with business and technical skills to increase their production and their income. We are helping 10,000 farmers support with business and technical skills in other regions, access to finance, access to inputs. We have helped 420,000 people with access to safe drinking water. And we are currently very proud of a project that we recently started with UNDP, where we try in the coming years to help thousands of young people and women to create jobs.
So are these happening all over the country, or you have identified some specific states where you are implementing these projects?
Of course, we are not the only donor in South Sudan. There are many others helping the people of South Sudan. Our humanitarian assistance is there where it's most needed. And this resilience, as we call it, this resilience programming, food security, water, is focused in several regions where we can access better and have a more long-term approach.
And talking about the resilient project, our reporter 2 days ago in Yambio reported that there is a 13-kilometer road project, the Feeder Roads, that is being supported by Netherlands through the World Food Program. Tell us more about this project you are supporting in Yambio.
Yes, we're also very proud of that program. Of course, infrastructure is very important. South Sudan has very little infrastructure, and it's key to provide assistance with creating roads, etc. So we have asked WFP to help us with doing this. And these are feeder roads. That is that farmers who want to access markets, they need to transport their products over the smaller roads leading to the bigger roads. And that's what we are doing. And this is all part of a program that we are doing together with UN and other donors called the Partnership for Recovery and Resilience. And that is focused on several regions in South Sudan, mm-hmm. Where the local governments tell us what are the most urgent needs and where the gaps are in terms of assistance needed. And with the government of Yambio, we have set up a strategy to do exactly this. And infrastructure is, of course, one of the most urgent gaps that was identified by the government of Yambio.
Okay. And have you realized any impact through this investment you are carrying out on the people of South Sudan, like, for example, training over 400 farmers and equipping them with the best knowledge? Is there any impact through your agents on the ground? Have you realized any impacts?
Yes. This program has been started a few years ago, and we continue to do so. Of course, agriculture is a very promising sector if you talk about creating jobs in South Sudan, besides the oil sector. And these farmers have many skills, but they ask for improvement of their skills and more business-oriented skills. And this leads to more production and thus more income. And with this income, they can send their children to school and they can do other things. Mm-hmm. Besides giving them skills training, we also provide assistance with setting up seed companies so that South Sudan is less reliant on imports of seeds and creates their own local seed sector so that local seeds can be used by local farmers to produce and increase their production.
Yes, Jerome, you are the deputy head of Mission Embassy of the Kingdom of the Netherlands to Juba or South Sudan. And right now, the main topic of the day in South Sudan is the current peace process which is going on in the country. And how is the Netherlands supporting this peace process?
Well, of course, we have been here, as I said, a long time already in South Sudan, and we've always been besides the South Sudanese people in the good times and also at the bad times. Then we are here to stay. So we have always supported IGAD, the countries of IGAD and the structure of IGAD to help with finding solutions to create peace in South Sudan, to bring the parties together. Of course, also diplomatically and politically, we try to support wherever necessary and helpful. And we do this together, of course, with our EU colleagues. In the Netherlands, we always think our polder model is maybe a nice model for when people are in conflict. And this polder model is based on you win some and you lose some. Mm-hmm. But losing everything is not in the benefit of anybody. So that's why we call, as the Netherlands, for compromise. We have always called for compromise in this peace process, but also at the moment when people are discussing ways forward in the peace process in Addis, I think the word compromise is very important. And for us, it's not so much important to talk about dates as such. It's very much important that everybody agrees on the way forward.
And there has been concerns from the transitional government of national unity that the international community is not backing the peace process financially. Even some partners, including the United States and the United Kingdom, have openly said that they won't see more dedication by the parties before they can open up their passes. What is the position of the Kingdom of the Netherlands on this?
Yes, well, as I said, we are doing a lot already in terms of creating peace dividend. Peace process are not only about sitting together around a table. It's also about what does it mean for the people that are in the end the beneficiaries of such processes. So, as I said, we are doing a lot in terms of humanitarian assistance, development cooperation. Last year, we spent $100 million, and we are not such a big country, so $100 million last year alone for the people of South Sudan, for different projects that I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And I think peace process are not only about money. Of course, peace is expensive, but conflict is also very expensive. And it's not only, we should not only talk about money, but we should also talk about political will and bringing people together. And then if we have a lasting peace and everybody agrees about all the elements of the peace agreement, then we can save a lot of money. But if you ask somebody to build a house for you, of course, the first question you will ask, get back, is how much do you put in it? Huh? Just as a simple example, maybe a few weeks ago, my brother asked me to support his business. He wants to start a new business. And I said, well,
how much do you have?
How much do you chip in? Mm-hmm. And he refused to tell me, so I refused to help him.
Okay. So there must be something on the table for others to support you. And we are only left with 10 days from today for the deadline of the pre-transitional period. And there are also proposals from the opposition, that's the SPLM-IO, for a delay or extension. What are your comments?
Well, again, as I said before, for us, dates and those kind of details are not so important. The importance is that people stay together around the table and try to look for an inclusive agreement and look for compromises. So for us, it's very important that everybody stays around the table. We have a very comprehensive peace agreement. We know that it's complex. We know the environment is very fragile. But the alternative is much worse. So we very much encourage everybody around the negotiation table to look for compromises and to look each other into the eyes and to focus on the goal, which is a lasting peace for South Sudan and the South Sudanese people. So for us, an inclusive process where everybody involved tries to find a compromise and agrees with each other is much more important than a certain deadline.
Yes, and talking about sitting in a round table and try to dialogue or negotiate, that's what actually IGAD is doing today. Today and tomorrow, they are holding a two-day meeting with all the parties or signatories to the agreement. What is the latest as a diplomat you are hearing coming from Addis Ababa?
Well, I think that's as much as you hear at the moment because they have just started.
Yeah.
We are represented through EU and the International Partner Forum representatives who are in Addis observing the process wherever possible. So I hope tomorrow we will understand a little bit more. But we are very encouraged by the fact that everybody is there, that people are still talking, and that's very encouraging, and we should remain hopeful.
What outcome are we expecting given that such numerous meetings have been held before? Do we expect anything tangible this time around as people who have been supporting this peace process since then?
Yes, we all know if you read the peace agreement how complex it is, and these kind of things need time. So we should not become too impatient. I mean, European people like myself are often very impatient. But if you read the text of the peace agreement, it's very complex, and you cannot expect everything to become a paradise in one day. So we need time. What we do expect, again, is that everybody remains around the table, focuses on the most important short-term issues, and make sure that we are all around the same objective, which is helping the people of South Sudan get a step ahead.
Yes, you are listening to Nationwide with me, Sunny Martin. And if you have just joined us right now, in the studio with me is the Deputy Head of Mission Embassy of the Kingdom of the Netherlands, South Sudan, Jerome Kelderhaus. And we are looking at the support the Netherlands is offering to the people of South Sudan. And we have just heard from him, they're involved in several projects, one of them training farmers, and also the resilient project happening in Gbudu State in Yambio, plus many, many others. And last year they spent $100,000 or million US dollars rather on South Sudan. If you have got any question, later on our lines will be open where you can call us and ask your question to Jaron on 091-206-2079 or 091-206-2950. Still with the agreement, just this week the SPLA MIO is proposing a very strong 12,000 VIP protection for the unity government. This is not stipulated in the agreement. What is the Netherlands position on this proposal by the IO?
Well, I cannot myself comment on the specific proposal because I don't know the details of it as such. Again, there is an agreement on the table that people are negotiating around. Security is very much important. Forming one army is an important element of the peace process, and also guaranteeing the security of everybody, including people living here like ourselves. But what we hope is that we will soon see an agreement on how to form one security sector in South Sudan. And this is very complicated. We've seen this in many countries. But that is, of course, the goal, to have one, to build trust, to have one army and one security sector for those people who are now in different security structures, and those who cannot stay in those structures will be offered other jobs in other sectors.
And just also, last month we saw one of the issues, rare issues people have never seen before in Rome, where the parties in April embarked on a spiritual retreat in the Vatican, and the head of the Roman Catholic Church, Pope Francis, went as far as performing a rare gesture to kiss their feet. And it was hoped that at least with this encounter with the Pope, that would have been a game changer. What is your reaction as a diplomat to all this?
Well, I'm not sure if you can expect from religious leaders to be game changers in such a peace process. But, of course, everybody was kind of impressed, to say the least, and maybe even shocked that such a high religious, respected leader does such a thing. This means something. And also, life is also about symbols, and this is one of them. So we hope that this will have a lasting impact. And we were very much encouraged by this this initiative by the Vatican.
Okay, and moving on with our discussion, the judicial and the rule of law have been severely weakened after years of conflict in the country. Is there any role the Netherlands is playing to strengthen the rule of law in South Sudan?
Well, the Netherlands is worldwide known for its focus on the rule of law. You know, The Hague is the international city of peace and justice. There will be no lasting peace if there's no justice. Justice and peace go together. And also in South Sudan, we try to help wherever needed. We are working together with UNDP in the program that is called Access to Justice, where we help with supporting people's access to justice by supporting mobile courts. Of course, many people all over around the world, including in South Sudan, are often very much shocked about issues around sexual and gender-based violence. We don't only want to be shocked and talk and publicly about it. We also want to help and do something about it. That's why we're also very proud of one of our projects in this program, and that is to set up a court sexual gender-based violence, where people who have been victims of this will get the access to the justice that they deserve. Also, we help with the whole rule of law chain, so to speak. So we also help in prisons in South Sudan, and help prisoners getting skills so that when they have finished with their sentence, they go back into the communities with some skills so that they can start a job or a small company or something like that. So hundreds of prisoners have been trained through this program on skills that they can use when they're out of the prison again.
Okay. Yes, you are listening to Nationwide with me, Sunny Martin, and shortly our lines will be open where you can join us in our discussion and call on 0912062079 or 0912062950.
You're listening to Radio Miraya, the voice of peace. Nationwide, we bring you latest current issues, discussions, and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Welcome once again to Nationwide with me, Sunny Martin, and my guest today is Jaron Kelderhaus, the deputy head of Mission Embassy of the Kingdom of the Netherlands to South Sudan, based in Juba. And we are discussing basically on the support of the Netherlands to South Sudan. Like you heard from him, they are doing a lot. And last year alone, they spent $100 million, and they're also training farmers. They're also embarking on projects in Gudu State in Yambio, precisely, through World Food Program, and also they are supporting the judiciary through UNDP with their mobile court to actually talk about issues or find solution to sexual gender-based violence. As you know, it's widely common in South Sudan, especially after or during this conflict. And Jaron, let's look at the humanitarian assistance the Netherlands is offering to South Sudan. What are some of these humanitarian programs the Netherlands is involved in South Sudan?
Yes, of course, there are still a lot of people suffering from access to basic services in South Sudan. And the international community is still here to help with the most basic needs in some regions of this country. And although we also expect the government to help with that, we will continue to help help with those emergency needs. So, for instance, last year we gave about $30 million for this kind of support, and we do that through through UNHCR, to WFP, but also to a group that is called the Dutch Relief Alliance, which is a group of Dutch NGOs that work together with local South Sudanese NGOs in providing humanitarian relief.
Okay, and let's look especially among the youth, issues to do with water, food, agriculture, and creation of job opportunities. Are you also heavily involved?
Yes, no, we are very proud of a program that we started in December, and it was also widely covered in the media, which is a job creation program. Of course, young people in South Sudan, and most people in South Sudan are young people, they need jobs. They need to do something. They need to get out of their tukuls. They should stop fighting, but they should be provided with alternatives. Huh? So although it's difficult to create jobs in an economy that is still waiting to develop much further, we believe we can, even in the current situation, create jobs and help, together with the private sector in South Sudan, create jobs for especially young people and women. So we kicked off this program a few months ago in Yambio, and there were hundreds and hundreds of young people queuing up for the jobs that were provided there. There were about 160 vacancies at that moment, and we saw an enormous enthusiasm from young people. But of course, these young people also need skills. You mm-hmm. cannot expect people just start a job, you know. I mean, if you want to be an interviewer at radio, you need some training, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to become a diplomat, you need also get some training. But everything is possible if you you have a goal and you want to do something, we want to help young people. We have many more ideas to come in the coming years, but it's all focused on creating alternative livelihoods for especially young people, because there must be more things to do than conflict. But you cannot expect people to step out of conflict and then just go back to their tukuls and there's nothing to do. So we have to help building an economy in South Sudan and in this country, which is a very rich country in terms of resources. This should be possible. If you can build in the Middle East countries from the desert out of nothing, then why not in South Sudan? We can build a very thriving economy here, with not only about the oil, there are many other resources. If you fly over South Sudan, which we regularly do, you see a vast lands that can be used to do agriculture.
With a lot of enough rainfall
yes.
in the country. And that was, it was going to be my next question. You are talking about creating of job opportunity like what we saw in Yambio. From what we saw, many people turned up with the expectation of getting jobs. And also women turn up, young girls. What are some of the... Is there any specific project maybe the Netherlands may think of to target only women in South Sudan?
You mean in terms of jobs?
Yes. Like training skills and all this kind of thing, because you know most women in South Sudan are believed to have been deprived of many things, education, and also the conflict have affected them badly.
Yes, of course. No, you cannot change everything from scratch and within a few days. This costs time. Of course, there's also a lot of cultural aspects. Because sometimes, as a Dutch person, you sit in a restaurant and you think, why are all these people from other countries than South Sudan? Why those South Sudanese people don't do the job? And if you think to the European, you don't understand the local cultures. You have to understand better what are the obstacles for people getting jobs. It could be cultural aspects. It could be skills that are lacking. But all these things, they need to be taken into account. Of course, also another thing that we are more aware of than before, maybe, is issues like mental health. You know, if with all the war, all the violence within community, not only the national conflict, but also in communities, this affects people. This affects people. So people are also dealing with a lot of trauma that has to be addressed. You cannot expect people to work and wake up fresh and start a job if you think about your family members that you lost, other things that you experience. We were talking about sexual gender-based violence. I mean, people need a lot of assistance also in terms of coaching and addressing psychological needs that they have.
Okay, and finally, and brief, you have been helping people of South Sudan for a very long time, like you stated. What kind of message are you leaving the people of South Sudan with this evening?
Yes, well, I said it several times in this interview. It's very important to find common ground, to reach compromises, to see and look ahead, not only your own self-interest, but also the interest of the nation at large, to build that country that you envisaged when you got independent, and to get back on that track for lasting peace and development. Don't despair. It's no time to lose hope. It's a crucial time again in South Sudan, but there is opportunity to create this lasting peace, and we are here to witness that with you.
Thank you so much.